Blog Talk Radio.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Tuesday, May the 25th. We're getting a lot of rain here in North Texas. Today we'll be chatting with our friend Leslie Eastman. She's a great friend of our show. She's also a contributor, very popular contributor to Legal Insurrection. We'll get into a lot of different topics with Leslie. She always has a lot of good things to say. We'll talk a little bit about this COVID China conversation that all of a sudden everybody's talking about. Exactly how did the virus get over here? Did it come out of a lab? You know, all of these things that Leslie has real expertise in. We'll also talk about Dr. Fauci and where we are at this moment on COVID. I mean, it looks, just from my looking around things, I think we're doing quite well as a country, particularly compared to other countries. I think we're doing quite well. And then we'll talk about one of my favorite topics, which is what's happening at the school board meetings between parents and the school boards. And it's fascinating. I see kind of a similarity to the Tea Party in the sense that back in the days of the Tea Party, when Leslie got involved in that back then, there was lots and lots of mothers who were at the forefront of that movement. And it appears to be the same with the school board meetings today. So let me get to Leslie Eastman. How are you, Leslie? It's always a great honor to have you. How is everything with you?
Good. I know it's been a while, so I'm really grateful for this opportunity to catch up with you and the Campus Talk audience. And, you know, it's probably the beginning of summer, so I was hoping that you could take this opportunity to look around what's been going on and maybe game plan what the next couple of months will look like and have some fun while doing so.
Great. Well, I'm sure you're our favorite scientist, so we'll hear a lot from you on that topic. I do want to begin with, this is a quick topic. We don't want to spend too much time on it, but there's talk about UFOs, and the only thing I know about UFOs is, well, that there, I guess, have been some, but what is your take on that? I mean, what's your reaction to all this stuff about UFOs?
It's kind of complicated. Keep in mind, as an amateur Egyptologist, many of my friends love to share the alien origin theories that are bandied about on History Channel shows. And I am alien skeptical in that regard because as an Egyptologist or even amateur status, I'm aware of, you know, the tombs and evidence of the evolution of pyramid building. And I can see mankind doing things in ways we don't understand, but mankind certainly capable of doing it. But when you talk and you see reports from our military, men and women, very sober, who are very serious, who I don't view as being necessarily the first ones to glom onto any conspiracy theory, saying they see objects that maneuver, that breaks the law of physics as we know it, with no wings or ways to propel, that is evidenced in the craft, making maneuvers in air, water, and potentially space. And this is technology we don't possess. They are maneuvering off our coast, close to our coast, in front of our military. And I think Tucker Carlson brought up this point. We will see evidence in June because apparently the reports that the military has been holding up on is supposed to be brought forward in a series of hearings in June. But that being said, instead of getting distracted by critical race theory and small hostilities in countries, when our military should perhaps be focused in identifying what these craft are and making people aware of of whatever they may be. Now, I probably will say I really do hear that this is serious and they're concerned. So I've probably gone from alien skeptical to alien questioning, and I'd like to hear more evidence.
Right.
I think as we go into the summer, keeping in the theme with our program, paying attention to the UFO reports and finding out what the possible point origin of these craft would be a serious concern to everybody, and especially Americans.
Yes. Well, I think you will promise us a show on UFOs this summer. How is that?
Absolutely.
You have an open invitation.
We will be following the reports coming from the congressional hearings most closely. And given that my son will be either in the Space Force, the Air Force, at least for a portion of his career, I'm seriously interested in this subject.
Well, I bet you are, and I'm looking forward very much to your report this summer. I do want to say, speaking of your son Blake, you put up a beautiful picture of him on Facebook for those who are your friends, and he looks very handsome, and he looks like a real, yeah, I tell you, you should be very proud of him. He looks great in that photo. Did I lose Leslie? I think I did. I just lost Leslie over there, but I was referring to a photo that Leslie put on Facebook of her son Blake, all dressed up in his military attire, and he looks absolutely, absolutely great. Yeah, we did lose Leslie. We'll get her back in a second. We're going to be chatting today. For those of you, while Leslie comes back on, for those of you who may not be familiar with Leslie Eastman, she's been on our show many times, of course, but she's a wonderful contributor to Legal Insurrection, which is one of my favorite websites. And Leslie usually covers a lot of topics, a lot of it having to do with science, and that's her background, you know, chemistry and so on. And she's a wonderful contributor to Legal Insurrection, and I always look forward to her pieces. I think we have her back right now. Leslie, I think maybe
we're
talking about UFOs.
Yeah, I'm either going to blame your weather or the UFOs.
Well, that's what I was thinking. You were telling me, you know, we were talking about doing a show on UFOs this summer, and then all of a sudden I thought I had lost you. In a UFO,
yes,
you went up in the sky and you disappeared on us. No, I don't know whether you heard me complimenting your son Blake. There's a wonderful picture that you have of him on those of you who are friends of yours on Facebook, like I am, and it's just a wonderful picture. You should be very proud of him.
I am. He is so awesome. He's going to participate in the first Space Force Space Ops Summer Program this year. And I want your listeners to play extra hard because he's also in the parachuting program. So,
oh, my God. What an honor.
Yes, I need the extra periods coming away so we can come home safe and sound to his mama.
Great. No, that's wonderful. You and your husband should be very proud of your son. He's just a wonderful young man and doing both of you a lot. I mean, both of you should be very proud of his success. Well, let's talk about a nasty topic, Leslie, and that is COVID, but especially China. You know, obviously it came from China. People got all worked up when President Trump used to call it the China virus, but it's beginning to look more and more like it did come from China. And now the question, of course, is how did it get out of China? Was it just an accident, or was it premeditated, whatever? And everybody's talking about this, and I'm wondering what your reaction is, Leslie, about all this talk about China and COVID again.
Well, I have a multifaceted thoughts on this, Silvio, and I could babble on it for a while, but I think the biggest thing that I would like your listeners to know is they should go on to Legal Insurrection today in a few hours, post of my analyzing the news that three Chinese scientists from the Wuhan lab were hospitalized with some sort of, you know, quote-unquote seasonal disease in November 2019, just before the outbreaks in Wuhan are occurring. That news is broken, and subsequently to that news, there was a plunge by our media to start really conveying the possibility that the lab leak in Wuhan was a point origin of the coronavirus. Now, why this is a particular topic and why I wrote the post is to express my outrage, and I don't know how better to express it, my pure 100% unadulterated outrage at our media, because legal insurrection broke the possibility of a lab leak in February of 2020. In other words, way before the rest of our media, I found and shared an article on scientists from China saying that a lab leak was certainly a serious possibility. And yet, account and account by our media dismissed this report, dismissed all evidence, mocked President Trump, and as a matter of fact, a headline from CNN Politics, not 2 months after my report, literally was, Anthony Fauci crushes Donald Trump's theory on the origin of the coronavirus. And it is a, quote, unadulterated, pure, concise dismissal by Fauci of any possibility that the lab leak was the point source origin of the coronavirus. Complete dismissal. Early on as the pandemic, you know, and the press went with it, touting Anthony Fauci's credentials and completely dismissing President Donald Trump, who had complete knowledge of all the intelligence and all the assessments that underscore that the lab leak was certainly a possibility and, in my opinion, was probably the point origin source of the coronavirus.
Yeah. Now, and
I could go on.
No, I was just going to.
So please let
no,
me.
No, I know. And you have a lot of time left, so we can talk more. But I'm just trying to make sure that I understand what you said, because I'm not, you know, when it comes to these things, I'm not as bright as you. So what you're saying is that three scientists out of this lab had the virus, I guess, or were infected with the virus.
Yes.
And then when they came out, they infected a bunch of other people. Is that what you mean?
I think, yes. I think that lab leak was the point origin, and they certainly got sick enough. But before they got to the hospital, they certainly infected other people. And then,
so they infected their neighbors and lots of other people in that city, Wuhan or whatever the name of the city is, and then they just infected a lot of people, and the thing just went crazy. And the Chinese did not tell anybody about it. They didn't stop it at that point. They didn't quarantine the city. Is that correct?
Yeah. I would like to step back a little bit for your listeners and give you just a little bit more background on the Wuhan Institute of Virology. It is designed to be the equivalent of our CDC biosafety level 4 facility in Atlanta. And we're talking biosafety, you're talking 4 levels, 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1 is very simple. You can't get infected with anything significant. It's not human. 2 is a little bit more robust, but it's still pretty hard to get under normal circumstances. 3 is concerning, and you definitely have to have an enhanced facility. 4 is the stuff like Ebola that is seriously infectious, unknown, very debilitating. And traditional level of working with things of respiratory potential like the coronavirus, where you can get it by inhaling, so the respiratory viruses, would be minimum level 3 and possibly if you're working with unknown like this, biosafety level 4. So it's the enhanced level. We're talking moon suits. We're talking, you know, various decontamination. You're going in and going out and vaccination programs and health checks and No. The people practicing the science in the Wuhan lab were operating at a biosafety level 2, substantially reduced protection protocol. And when you're dealing with respiratory virus, they were setting themselves up for infection so that they got the infection. Probably wasn't the first time that it happened, but definitely it's the likeliest possibility. And in fact, I believe it was a team of French scientists who helped them develop this facility who started the alarm that they were not working properly within this facility, and this facility was not being maintained as it should be. And there is also a United States State Department report also highlighting the problems with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And that is even before the November 2019 scientist, three scientists getting ill.
Right. Now, so three people, I guess is my reaction, and maybe a lot of people reacting the same way. So these three people went out and infected a bunch of other people, and that gets around the world that quickly, Leslie? It must be a pretty...
Let me take you back to that particular time. So
okay.
The virus is slowly making its way through the population in Wuhan. And come around December, it's apparent to the Chinese authorities that they have a serious infection problem. And then the reports start, they are starting to tweak the reports to blame the seafood market in Wuhan. And they make a big demonstration of, you know, claiming the Wuhan market is responsible for the SARS-like virus. And this is where I start following the story, which is late December, early January of 2020. And they are, you know, doing this decontamination. News is breaking out about how serious they are. They're, you know, jailing citizens, essentially house arresting others. And news is breaking, you know, from various sources and videos about how serious this virus is. The Chinese have their Chinese New Year around this time. Chinese New Year celebrations are going on in Wuhan. And the Chinese authorities, I think at this point, make a decision. They can't contain the virus. It's going to spread. So instead of them being the only impacted country, they are going to export this virus through the world, and indeed they did. They shut down Wuhan, but they sent out international flights to Europe, to the United States, and to other sources. And from that, we get the coronavirus pandemic we have been enjoying for the last 18 months.
Right. Leslie, there's a very interesting, when you were speaking of this, of these flights and going around the world, I remember in the early days of 2020, in the first couple of months, that one of the countries that was really impacted was Italy, and specifically the northern part of Italy, where apparently they had a lot of traffic, mm-hmm. with China, and they had mm-hmm. a very bad case of the virus in the north of Italy because of that. And I remember that many people were trying to point out the fact that that this was coming from China, and the people who pointed that out were being shot down by many Italian politicians who did not want to upset China. So, all of this, it just amazes me as a novice and as a person who doesn't understand these things as well as you do. It just amazes me how this could get around the world so quickly, but that's what happens, I guess, when people are next to each other. And if I understood you correctly, the government of China knew when that New Year's Day celebration happened in China, they knew that they had a problem. They could have said, no celebration, or we're going to shut this down for the benefit of the rest of the population, for the benefit of the world, but they didn't. They let it go. And that, I think, is something they need to be held accountable for, Leslie.
Well, yes. And under typical circumstances, if they were a smaller country with less financial influence, they would be. But unfortunately, some of our politicians are essentially paid political activists for the Communist Chinese Party now. And that's
yes.
the simplest way I can put it, that mm-hmm. if your corporations and our politicians are trying to make the Chinese happy, none of the citizens, none of the families of the people lost during that pandemic will ever get restitution, and China will never face any consequence of making probably decisions that have led to the largest human cost catastrophe in the history of the planet.
Wow. Yes, you're exactly right. Now, before we take a break, though, I want to bring in Dr. Fauci into all of this because he's been now all of a sudden, once again, he's in the middle of the controversy. And Dr. Fauci, has been saying a lot of different things. A year ago, I think, like, as you indicated in your previous comments, that he said, no, this is not, he basically sided with China, I guess, on this. And now he's saying, yeah, there is a possibility that it could have been a lapse. So he's changing too. Now, we can give him the benefit of the doubt and say, well, he's got new information, but I mean, Dr. Fauci seems to be doing this way too much, where, you know, he says one thing and then he changes it. Maybe it's time for Dr. Fauci to step aside, Leslie.
Silvio, I think he knew a lot more than he let on. And
okay.
I think he was just happy to promote whatever narrative was going to get him the biggest amount of attention. And I think our press has now decided, since President Donald Trump is no longer in office, that it is okay to start switching the narrative around. The trouble is with that, there's a lot of us whose posts were blocked and our accounts were threatened in social media whenever we tried to post evidence of A, it being a lab leak, and B, more serious than that, the virus being man-made rather than a naturally evolved pathogen.
Mm-hmm.
And any time we brought it up, we had either a fact-checker hiding it or our accounts were threatened. So, no,
right.
We're not letting the media and their press change their narrative and find a way to direct any blame for this on President Trump, who tried to tell everybody that a lab leak and the Chinese were the root of it.
Yes.
The media decided it was going to make snarky headlines and use it to beat Donald Trump up politically. We're not forgetting this.
No, we shouldn't. And I completely agree with you, because I think this may be something that the media was not expecting, that this whole topic would turn around on them. We're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, we'll continue this conversation with Leslie on the COVID, and also we'll talk about school boards. And a lot of stuff happening on school boards. We'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, and many of you are familiar with Leslie Eastman from Legal Insurrection, and she does a great job over there writing posts. I understand she told us a few minutes ago that there's one coming later today, so we certainly hope that you check Legal Insurrection Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening. But let's get back to Leslie. Thank you for holding, Leslie. I wanted to bring up another point here regarding COVID, and that is how well the country is doing, at least in terms of cases and so on, and how well the United States is doing compared to other countries. And if you remember, Leslie, a year ago, last summer, we were being told how much better all these other countries were doing and how lousy we were doing. And, of course, all of that was intended to make President Trump look bad. Now, it looks different. I mean, we have three vaccines that are out, and we are doing good. The numbers are good. And now it's other countries who are having problems. So I think that President Trump should start getting some credit. I know we give it to him, but I think it's more and more Americans should realize what a great job he did, Leslie, dealing with a very difficult topic, having to make a lot of decisions very quickly, having to put a lot of things together very quickly. I think overall he gets an A+, Leslie.
Well, Silvio, it goes back to our press and how the media has decided to portray things. And once President, you know, the new president, well, I would say the new occupant of the Oval Office took over, all of a sudden things began to switch around. But I will say this, that between the natural immunities, both that have been affected and built up, because keep in mind, I think many people will have gotten COVID and not known it because they never got terribly sick. Again, the press overplayed that news. Between the vaccines doing what the vaccines will do, and again, the vaccines will be our most effective, and you do not spread COVID around after you're vaccinated. So between those two things, I've been paying attention to a number. It's called the reproduction number. It basically, that once a reproduction number falls below one, The virus has stopped spreading, so we were out of the pandemic. The reproduction number has been below one for over 4 weeks now. The cases are reduced. The cases are falling throughout the country. So I've noticed that the mask mandates are beginning to slip away because there's now a preference cascade. People are done with the strict COVID responses. And those governors who have been quick to get, really protect their citizens in terms of their economic and recovery and mandating just sensible rules that allow for making individual judgments regarding the acceptance of risk and your own personal risk situation, are going to do quite well, and their states are going to recover quite quickly, whereas other governors, such as California and Michigan, will be found wanting by their citizens, and there'll be consequences they reap in the terms of recalls or challenges to them that are significant in their primary or upcoming elections.
Yeah.
So, again, I want to say, everybody, everybody has their own personal risk, and you can make the decision that's right for you regarding your health and your vaccinations. But we are doing really well. The case rates are falling. And, yes, we need to remind the press that it was Operation Warp Speed that got the ball rolling in terms of the vaccinations and also the innovative treatments for COVID that really have dropped case fatality rates, which were really critical too.
Yeah, well, I know here in Texas, we were one of the first ones to, I think there were other states, Florida.
There's others that didn't shut and others that may. Yeah, but it definitely, when you're looking at big states ahead of the curve, Texas and Florida certainly led the way.
And I think it's so interesting, Leslie. It's so interesting because, we've now been, the baseball season happened, at the beginning of April. We were one of the Rangers, our local team, was the first team to say, okay, 100%, you can sell out the stadium. They would sell 100% of the tickets. And since the first week of April, we've had several crowds of over 35,000, 40,000 people at the stadium. There have been many other games, not that many people, but, let's say 25,000, 30,000. And there has been no increase in the number of cases, despite the fact that so many people were going to these stadia, and not everybody's wearing a mask. So, a lot of people were afraid when Governor Abbott opened up the state, and particularly when the stadium was opened, a lot of people were afraid that we would have this rash of COVID that would follow that. But in the contrary, the cases are actually down, way down. And, things, I'm not saying it's over, but it certainly looks very good, Leslie.
I am going to say, again, it really is. The good thing about federalism is every state was allowed to experiment.
Yes.
And we're able to see that the mask mandates did not do anything for the curves, that the lockdowns did not do anything for the curves, and except for hurt the economy, hurt middle-sized and smaller businesses, and create, definitely a power structure that certain politicians and bureaucrats are loath to give up, as we recede from the serious level of case outbreak that we had been experiencing last year.
I feel very good about, what's happening down here, and I certainly hope other parts of the country can recover. Well, let me switch topics a little bit to more political topic, and I know you're a very active, you got involved in the Tea Party, I should say, back in 2009, 2010. That's how we first met. And I see almost like some similarities to the Tea Party. When I see all these mothers going to these school board meetings and really giving it to the school boards, and I am so proud of these ladies because they're doing what they're supposed to do. And I really, here in Texas, for example, the legislature has just approved that you cannot teach this critical race theory or force people to learn it, I should say. And it's happening in other states as well. And it's all because of these mothers going to the school board meetings. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that and how you see that maybe developing politically, Leslie.
Well, I actually like your take on it. I have to be honest with you. I'm a little sad about what happened to the Tea Party.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a large part I blame on the Republicans who, mm-hmm. Diverted some people who were, basically it was the celebrity politician. They got very excited to be part of things and all of a sudden agreed with the politicians who held the power. So just that part. So some got overtaken and others were just gutted in terms mm-hmm. of, making them being influential because of the way things played out. So a little disappointed, but some of the Tea Party still active, still effective, including the California Tea Party groups, which I'm very happy that Don Wildman keeps me in the loop. So grateful for that. And of course, there are others out there. But I like your take on it. It's not an analogy I thought, because I think you're right. It's purely bipartisan. There's nobody in there going to the school board because, A, they're Republican or Democrat. They're going out there because they care about their kids. And when you start seeing racism in whatever form it takes, there are going to be mothers out there who appreciate their sons and daughters. Their success, their achievements, their recognition can be directly impacted now by the color of the skin unless things change. And that puts a lot of motivation. You really want to gain for somebody, you go after their kids, and then you will see rage like no other.
That's right.
So
no,
they're getting the Mama Grizzly treatment, but upgraded because, this goes beyond politics. It goes to a parent's connection to their child. And so, yes, it's the school board. And what is happening is because people like Bill Jacobson of Legal Insurrection, mm-hmm. people like Tucker Carlson are shining the light on these efforts, inspiring more and more people. So it is the school boards. Because after, again, tying it back to the coronavirus, after the bureaucrats shuttered schools for no good reason and really impacted the quality of our children's education and futures, parents no longer view teachers as sacred saints and partners.
Right.
They view them as opponents. And now you're going to find the school boards are going to be filled with people who are going to challenge the teachers' unions and the bureaucrats in charge of the teachers.
You're exactly right, Leslie. And I know here in Texas and in many other places, all of a sudden there's tremendous interest in school board meetings, in school board elections, and more mothers, mm-hmm. and I got to give the mothers a lot of credit here. More and more mothers are getting involved, and it's just a good thing because I agree with you. I think all this critical race theory, whatever they want to call it, the 1619 Project, whatever they want to call it, I've always been insulted by that because it's not only a rewriting of history, but it's demonizing a certain ethnic group, in this case, I guess, white men of European descent, and blaming all the problems on them, when in reality, it wasn't really that way. Was there slavery? Of course. Was there, were there problems? Of course. But you don't teach history from a one-sided point of view. You want to be balanced. And this critical race theory stuff is not balanced. I mean, you look at what they publish, and it's like, my goodness. I mean, they go after the founding fathers. They don't give the founding fathers any credit for the country that they built, a constitution that made it possible for the civil rights movement to happen later. So I just love the fact that this is coming from mothers and fathers. I just love that because not because it reminds me so much of the Tea Party, but because this is the way to do it, Leslie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that the era of woke is about to go broke.
Yes.
Because it is so, even people who are not white are appalled at blatant racism in any format it takes. And not only that, but when you start making policies on the basis of skin color. If you benefit from those policies, how are you ever going to know that you're qualified and your achievements have warranted whatever recognition
right.
you're going to get? And
absolutely.
It's going to have a backlash because, as we're beginning to see with the woke corporations, and this is actually, Disney is a good example of this. Because
mm-hmm.
once I found that Disney was promoting critical race theory, I had plans to go to Disneyland when California opened back up. I scuttled those plans. And quite
mm-hmm.
frankly, I'm done with Disney. And even though I don't have a child now, my son will have grandchildren, I will specifically avoid buying Disney product
yeah.
in the future. And
right.
they will not, I will not have anything to do with Disney. Now, if they somehow turn it around and they do a more of America first, America's great, they go back to their roots, then I can rethink this, but I'm
mm-hmm.
not drinking Coke. I'm not doing Disney. And I will be making other choices based on whether I feel the country is race and that the company is promoting this critical race theory or not. And I am grateful
absolutely.
For those organizations and people who are following this. And that is why I contribute to Legal Insurrection, because they are on the front lines of this issue for colleges.
Right. No, I think you're right. And in fact, that's one of the best things of that. That's one of the best things from of Legal Insurrection, the fact that Professor Jacobson has been on top of this from day one. And I love the stuff that he does and the seminars that Legal Insurrection does. Well, Leslie, we got a couple of minutes. Anything else you want to add to? I know we went through a lot of stuff today, but anything else that
you wanted to
add to the COVID, to the and to anything that I we didn't cover? Please let me know.
Well,
if there's anything else,
I'm going to say that I'm just going to round you up in terms of some recall elections. First one, recall election, Gavin Newsom still on track to go. They're at this point evaluating when to do the election, how much money is going to be set aside, yada, yada, yada. So if our governor is facing the recall, we have district attorneys that are George Soros back. One
mm-hmm.
is George Gascon in Los Angeles County, who is basically doing social justice activism and releasing inmates and basically not implementing various laws in the name of social justice. The recall proponents have now gotten their petitions approved, and they're out gathering signatures. And there's a San Francisco DA, Chesa Boudin, who's apparently got some communist parents in the background there. He's being recalled himself, again, because of the escalating crime in the San Francisco area. So as I'm fond of saying, Californians have really got to learn to take the red pill before elections instead of afterwards. That will definitely stop us from having to do so many recalls in the future. And
well, at least you can recall them. At least you can recall them. That's an advantage.
Yes.
You were going to say something else, please?
Yes. And then a topic you addressed in one of your posts is a repeat of the 1970s. And, welcome back, Carter Part 2. My recent post at Legal Insurrection, I've also taken a look at the escalating problem with seizures of fentanyl, heroin, methamphetamine, and cocaine. So drug problems are on the rise in this country, as are gas shortages.
Yes, that's right. And that problem with the drugs has something to do with opening the border. And we can get into that the next time, because a lot of those drugs are coming in through the border. But Leslie, I want to thank you as always for joining us. Your viewpoints are always so welcomed and so exciting. And I'm going to read your Legal Insurrection stuff, and you let me know when you want to come back, and we'll do another show. But I do want to do one about the UFOs for sure.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and plan another one in summer in June. I'm hoping to have Captain Capitalism with us next time, Aaron Claire.
Good.
He and I are working on something together. We'd love to share that with you and have him and his insights. And he's always a lot of fun.
He sure is. Please give him my best when you chat with him. I've had some contact with him, so I always enjoy that. Have a wonderful day, Leslie, and thank you for joining us.
All right. Best to you. Best to Aunt Beatrice and your grandson Lincoln and the rest of the Tampa Talk audience. God bless you all.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And the same to you and to your family and to your good-looking son, Blake. What a good-looking young man he is. Leslie Eastman, contributor to Legal Insurrection. Many of you follow her on Legal Insurrection, and she's great. She's absolutely wonderful. We love having her on the show. She's been with us so many times. That's why I say she's a great friend of our show. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.